This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. I'm Marilyn Gleason, and we are ready for this week's edition of Valley Voices. I have a couple of guests in the studio, and we're going to be talking about cross-country skiing, Spring Gulch, and ski for Sisu today. So stick around. The Mount Sopras Nordic Council is gearing up for the 34th annual Ski for Sisu Ski-a-thon that's coming up this Sunday, right around the corner. Ski for Sisu is a true highlight of the season, celebrating the collective achievement and support that have made free, community-powered skiing at Spring Gulch possible since all the way back in 1986. Joining me today in the KDNK studio is Rachel Perkins.
Hi, how are you?
So she's the executive director of the Mount Sopras Nordic Council, so knows everything about what's going on up there in Spring Gulch. And John Armstrong is here, too. He's a longtime board member and, I believe, a resident of Greater Satank.
Greater Satank, yeah.
So welcome, John. Thanks for being here, too. First of all, I'd just like to, you know, for people who haven't been up there, for the uninitiated, for the new to the area, what and where is Spring Gulch?
Well, first off, I think it's always good to point out we are incredibly lucky here in the Roaring Fork Valley to have over 100 kilometers of free public Nordic trails in our valley. Here in Carbondale, Spring Gulch is our kind of regional lower valley hub for cross-country skiing. So from Carbondale, you head southwest of town, past the 7-Eleven and the Old City Market, and you just keep driving up the hill until the end of the plowed section of road on County Road 108 or North Thompson Creek Road.
So you cross the bridge over there by
exactly
CRMS.
Cross the crystal, go up Sweet Hill, and just keep driving.
Yeah.
But what sets Spring Gulch apart from the rest of our valley's Nordic ski offerings is that the Mount Sopras Nordic Council is a nonprofit. So whereas all the trails in the Upper Valley are fully municipally funded through Picken County Open Space and Trails and the City of Aspen, we operate as a nonprofit. So we truly pride ourselves in that community-powered skiing where membership is over half our annual revenue, and it's really our community that makes it possible, and it's for our community. So it gives it a really connected and local feel.
And this event that's coming up this weekend is called Ski for Sisu. I think you mentioned that as being like the biggest piece of the puzzle.
Yes, so Ski for Sisu is our biggest annual fundraiser. So membership is still our biggest piece of our annual funding puzzle. But Ski for Sisu is the biggest fundraiser that we put on through the year. So it's an important piece of what makes it all work.
Okay, so who is Sisu? What does it mean?
Well, that's a really good question because before I knew what Sisu was, I thought it was some woman's name or something. I didn't know what the heck it was. And it's a Finnish word that means grit and determination and perseverance in the face of really hard times. And they call it a uniquely Finnish trait of grit and determination. But so Paul Lapla and Chris Landry are basically the founders of Spring Gulch. And Paul Lapla, the Laplander, was Finnish. And so he came up with the name, but the name was actually on a piece of grooming equipment. I think it might have even been a self-propelled machine that he imported from Finland for grooming at Spring Gulch. And the funny thing was a bomb. I guess it was a very poor implement or poor machine. For machine was Sisu. When our founding fathers started Sisu, the event, they were looking for a name, and of course it's a perfect name.
Yeah. Is the groomer still around?
Have you ever seen it?
No, I don't know that it actually lasted very long. Like John said, I think the story that I've heard was rain in, you know, Lapland is quite a bit different than at Spring Gulch. It's flatter, more rolly, gentle terrain, sea level. Mm-hmm. And I think it turned out that it just was not a match for 8,000 feet and pretty challenging terrain for a cross-country ski area.
Right.
I've never seen a picture of it. I should hunt around and see if there's one existing, but
so this is free groomed cross country and skate skiing available to what? Anybody who can find their way up there?
Exactly. Yep.
Uh-huh. And it's tell me a little bit about, you actually kind of share the land with the Cattlemen's Association. How did that work out?
Yes, so Spring Gulch is entirely located on private land. Mm. So the majority of the land that our trail system is on is owned by the North Thompson Cattlemen's Association, and it's conserved under the Jerome Park Conservation Easement, which protects, I think, over 4,700 acres in that area. And so we're proud to be kind of this unique, successful partnership between agriculture, conservation, and recreation. It's a part of what makes Spring Gulch special. It's also it feels very wild up there, especially, you know, so many cross-country ski areas are golf courses or near, you know, neighborhoods and things like that, which is great for access. But it certainly has its own character up there. You see, you know, deer and moose and all sorts of tracks and scat, and sometimes they walk right through the fresh grooming, and it's a little bit of a pain, but it also is a kind of a fun and unique part about Spring Gulch.
I worked with the Snowmass Aspen Nordic system for a while, and which is a great system, and I got really tired of taking my skis off or crossing driveways and rights of way and stuff, which is a bone of contention for them. It makes it a little difficult. But you go to Spring Gulch and you never cross a road. It truly is more of a wild experience, and the continuity is wonderful for a skier.
What do you mean by continuity?
You never have to take your skis off. You don't have to worry about a road or a right of way or anything like that. You get on the trails and then you disappear, and you go up there, and the parking lot could be full or overflowing, and you get out on the trails, and you feel like you're the only one in the mountains. So it's pretty special.
You have a great view of Sopris from up there, and pretty close to Thompson Divide, I believe.
Right at the edge of Thompson Divide. And kind of for those who haven't been up there, it's geographically pretty close to Sunlight. So if you're familiar with kind of the views that you get from the top of Sunlight, where you can see Capitol and Hawk and Assignation Ridge, and of course Sopris is the dominating feature, but it almost feels like a surprise because you can't see it from the trailhead, and then as you gain in elevation, you crest some of these hills, it's just it never fails to kind of take your breath away. It's just an incredibly beautiful part of our valley.
And John, I gather you're a cross-country skier.
Oh yeah.
Well, describe the trails for me. What's the trail system like up there?
Well, again, it's kind of unique, and it's quite challenging, especially for this valley. It's known for its climbs and sustained climbs, so it can really kick your butt, and that's why experienced skiers, quote, elite skiers, absolutely love it. But for a beginner intermediate, there's plenty of trails for them too, and especially down low. And so I think there's something for everybody, and there the lowest part of the area is great for children and beginners.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, something to add?
Yeah, I think John said it well. And there's about 30, almost 20, over 28 kilometers of trail, so close to 30 kilometers, which is about 18 miles. So it is, and it's a, you know, fairly small footprint as far as the ski area goes. But you, each trail kind of has its own character, and it's really fun to kind of piece things together. And you're winding through the oaks, and then you come into some aspen, and it's the history of some of our trails goes all the way back into the early 1900s when Spring Gulch was a mining town. And Spring Gulch itself, I think in the early 1900s, around 1900, was larger than the town of Carbondale.
Really?
And something like 18,000 tons of coal or something were brought out of Spring Gulch in that era.
Huh.
And one of our highest elevation trails, Finlandia, which is kind of like our gem because it also, even in a year like this, holds snow very well. It's well protected and flat and at about 8,000 and 8,300 feet. And that was part of the Midland Railway. So that would bring coal from Spring Gulch towards where Marion Gulch is, and there was another mine, the Union Mine, in between. And so our trails, we have, it's amazing. You have this combination of trails that were once mining roads and passages, railroads, and then have kind of turned into ranching, served ranching purposes. And then we've been able to work with the landowners to kind of expand the trail system and just turn those roads into a ski trail and have it, ski well and things like that.
And it is sort of a series of looping trails at different elevations, kind of stacked on top of each other in a way, in a really kind of open hillside, I guess. Yeah.
Holden's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. we have a joke up there. If you don't know where you are at Spring Gulch, you're on Holden's.
Okay.
Which can be a little confusing, but I don't remember the figure. 450 or 650 people lived up there at the height of Spring Gulch, and pretty much all immigrants and coal miners, but there was a real town up there, and now there's hardly a stick to remind you of that, and it kind of speaks to how the land revegetates and heals. So it's got a fascinating history.
But there are a few remnants around that you'll notice when you're up there and skiing some of those trails. Yeah, that really is interesting. I didn't realize there was a town up there, and boy, people used to really live where they worked, huh?
Right.
You mentioned moose. Is there a moose up there this year? I've seen a moose up there before.
Yes, there. I think there's several moose up there. There's at least a mom and a calf that have been spotted fairly regularly. Our groomers saw them the other day, and they kind of work their way down through the gullies. Sometimes they like to, especially around a big storm, I think they like to walk on the trails because it's easier walking. So
all groomed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after
Don't
this
need
last
those long legs.
Exactly. Yep. After this last storm, it seems like we really had this kind of surge of animal activity on the trails, just because, fresh snow, you can see it first of all, but also I think sometimes it kind of channels them where it's easier to move, which makes sense. But
so do they coexist pretty well with the skiers? I was a little frightened, I have to say, when I came upon
you. You should be.
Yes, yeah. You should be.
Yeah, they're not nice, are they?
Knock on wood, yes. So far, we have not had any instances, but we certainly encourage skiers to, if you're listening to music, maybe just have one headphone in instead of two and really not tune out while you're skiing, especially if you're a dawn or a dusk skier. Last year I was coming into a fast downhill and thankfully kind of stopped to look a little bit before I dropped in too fast, but I had to slam on the brakes because there was a bull moose that really you couldn't see until you were right 15 feet away from it, because they blend in really well with the oak. And so you want to be aware, especially in that dawn and dusk times when they're moving around a lot, that they're there and they are not always easy to see. And you want to make sure that you're using plenty of caution.
Bull
moose have the right of way.
Yes.
They do.
And one thing we have going for us is, and this is unfortunate for dog people, but we do not allow dogs, and that's part of the agreement with the North Thompson Cattlemen's Association. And dogs and moose are the worst mix of all. So. But absolutely give the moose as much room as you can, or turn around and go the other direction, because they can get ornery.
Mm-hmm. More thrills than the hills up there at Spring Gulch. I'm talking today to Rachel Perkins. She's the executive director of the Mount Sopras Nordic Council, and John Armstrong. He's a board member of the Mount Sopras Nordic Council. And we are talking today because Ski for Sisu is coming up this Sunday. Let's talk a little bit about Sisu. What is it? It's a fundraiser. What's going on up there on Sunday?
Yeah, so Ski for Sisu is our biggest fundraiser of the year, but it's also it feels like just a great celebration of community and the community that surrounds Spring Gulch. So it's not a race, and there's competitive elements of it, but I would say that they're not the focus of Ski for Sisu. It's sort of a come as you are, ski your pace, and ski as far as you like. We do encourage people to kind of get in that spirit of perseverance and grit and determination, and especially in a year like this, it's you need those you are need good that. Qualities to have. We've been persevering a lot this winter with such little snow, but we have pretty good skiing up there right now, and so we encourage people to set a distance goal, really challenge themselves if they would like to. Kind of increase their impact a little bit. You can collect donations, so you can, you know, set up a fundraising page online and share it with your friends and family and say, hey, this is, you know, my local ski area, this is why I love it, this is what it means to me, would you consider a donation in to support my participation in this event? So that's an optional piece. It's not required, but there's often several folks that get into that side of it, and that's really helpful for us too.
So are you raising funds by the entry fees for being in Ski for Sisu?
Yep, entry mm-hmm. fees, and then those additional donations, and then we have several sponsors. So we have Alpine Bank has been our title sponsor for Ski for Sisu for many years, Mountain Chevrolet, Bighorn Toyota, Pickens County Open Space and Trails, Valley View, Independence Run and Hike, Cold Mountain Ranch, and Fat Belly Burgers donates beef. So so not only what you can go, you know, ski your pursue your distance goal, go for a nice long ski at your own. Again, you can stop and chat, and we have an aid station set up at Paul's Point, so people often kind of gather and at Paul's Point, and but when you're finished, you're nice and hungry, and so you come down, and we've got a big barbecue going, and
so there's the beef.
Yes, exactly. So we've got some burgers right off the grill from Fat Belly. They've been super generous to support this event. Veggie options as well. So if you don't eat meat, we've got that covered, and treats, and then we have a big silent auction as well.
And how many people typically participate?
Usually over 100. Some years we've in really good years where we've got great snow and just timing. You know, timing's always a puzzle. But when it works out, we've had years where the parking lot's overflowing, and we've historically always held it at the Thompson Trailhead, and so people are parked all the way out along the road, and we've run out of bibs, and it's really fun when we get those big years.
Good problem to have.
Yes, exactly. But usually it's over 100, and it's a fun tradition.
What's the maximum distance? 90K?
I think 100. Yeah,
so 100 kilometers by one person in one day.
Wow.
And was it
Corbin Carpenter? Corbin. Yeah.
He was, 16 or 17?
Yeah, maybe 16 or 17, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep. And we have last year, this year we're holding it at the Marion Trailhead, and given the snow conditions, it'll be an abbreviated loop from our historic Sisu courses. It's about 11K to do the complete loop, and then folks can stay high and ski back and forth on Finlandia and kind of the upper trails to if they want to not have to drop all the way down to the parking lot every time. Last year, even though, again, it was really only that 11-kilometer loop that was open for the event, we had three people do over 50 kilometers.
Wow.
And several at 30, and so people really get into it and put up some pretty impressive distances on the day.
So it's no secret this has been a challenging year for snow. I believe last year also was for you. Your elevation up there is 7,000 feet to 8,300 feet, I believe, bottom to top, or lowest to highest trails. And that's high, but you're topping out about where the town of Aspen is, more or less. So it's a lower high elevation. Yeah, talk to me about the challenge and how you are, you know, maintaining the ski area and moving forward. I understand the groomers have a lot. They're amazing, and yes, they have a lot to do with making it all work. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure.
Adapting to these, you know, yes, more challenging snow years up there.
Yeah. So a few different pieces. So our Marion Trailhead is only, this is our third year that we've had the Marion lot. So we started construction, yep, in 2023 for that trailhead. And that was in response to the effects of climate change. So we took on this sort of ambitious capital improvement campaign that was focused on really two buckets. One was just enhancing our operations and being able to elevate the quality of what we can provide as far as grooming and ski area maintenance for the community. And then the other piece was just making sure that we could do it even if the winter was like this one. And so the pieces that have really been key for that are this new trailhead that we put in starting in 2023, and now it really feels like we finally finished that project. And then we also added 7 kilometers of new trails, and not only cut the trails, but this last summer we really overhauled the surface of the trail so that everything, graded everything, lined it with wood chips, pulled out hundreds of rocks, which you can actually, if you drive up to that trailhead and park and you look at all the rocks that are around our parking lot, those all came right out of the trail.
So that's so, to make a smoother surface so
exactly,
you don't need as much
exactly,
snow to
yep,
cover it.
So we wanted it to be as flat and smooth as possible, and then the wood chips kind of help insulate to just reduce some of the help the snow last longer and keep it from transforming a little bit. And so that has really been critical this year. I don't know how we would have stayed open without.
Can you imagine? And the wood chip thing, it is unbelievable. Mike Unkefer has been so instrumental in doing the actual equipment work up there.
This is a groomer?
No, Mike has
Western Vegetation Management is his business.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of equipment. He's a devout Nordic skier, and he has been so vested in Spring Gulch and in burying especially the trouble spots and the hillsides, the climbs and stuff with wood chips has made such a difference. So if you see something peeking out of the snow, it's usually a wood chip and not a rock, which is a big difference, obviously.
You can kind of ski right over that.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of the wood chips that we have, the majority of the wood chips that are there, too, have come out of Spring Gulch itself. So we've been also doing this vegetation management piece of the capital improvement project, which is really about just rejuvenating the growth that we need to protect the trails, so the oak
for
and the
shade.
Aspen, yep, exactly, mm-hmm. And responding to the impacts of drought, and especially our aspens. We had a lot of really tall, old aspen that just have not been able to have the water that they need to sustain themselves, and so we took out a lot of the, you know, it's a tree fall hazard, and also just blocks those younger trees from growing in, and so we've had this really extensive vegetation management piece of the whole thing that is providing direct benefits for the skiing, but really also just supporting the health of the overall ecosystem around Spring Gulch.
Well,
and provides a lot of wood chips. So,
right. So it's kind of a full cycle. The other challenge that you had up there was some vandalism over the last year or couple of years. Can you tell me about that? There was some driving on the trails in the wintertime that really messed up the snow.
Yes. So last year, I think 3 different occasions we had kids driving on the trails. And part of that was with our new parking area. We had we kind of needed a little time to figure out how to integrate the parking lot with the trails and where, you know, where would skiers enter. And what we envisioned originally was not actually kind of how it all worked once we put it in. And So as a result, we hadn't enclosed it, and so it made it a little too easy for vehicles to get on the trails in the first place.
And these were high school kids?
Yep.
Having parties up there?
Yep.
Did you ever find out, did you catch these kids?
We did catch the kids that were driving on the trails. The partying, unfortunately, there's a long history there.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, and it's a great affront to the community itself when somebody goes up and damages a community resource that brings so much joy to so many people, and what are you accomplishing, and who are you hurting? So it's really unfortunate, and we hope that we've kind of nipped it in the bud, and both sheriff's departments are very vested in preventing this as well.
So they're patrolling up there more than they used to. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And what other steps have you taken to kind of tamp that down?
Sure. So we mentioned the rocks, the boulders that we've added around the parking area. So part of it was just, doing our due diligence to make sure that a vehicle can't get on the trails in the first place. So we've added fencing and boulders to prevent that piece of it. And then we've also added cameras to the parking lot. And
smile.
Yep, exactly. So it's unfortunately we have to, go to lengths to mitigate that. But we did. We've had our porta potties vandalized 3 different times in the last 2 years.
Uh-huh. There was a flaming porta potty.
Exactly. Yes. Who would have guessed that it's even possible to burn a porta potty completely to the ground? But it is, and it happened, and it left a mess, a big mess to clean up. Just heavy melted plastic melted into the parking lot with all the road base stuck in the plastic,
and yucky
just
stuff.
A real mess. We haven't had any issues. Kids have done donuts in the parking lot, and that's about it. But we hope that by both talking about it more and by taking some of these steps to protect the trails, that we hopefully can.
Yeah. And Marilyn, one thing that I'd like to say is we've had some pretty wild sisus over the years, weather-wise, and I think it was maybe 5 years ago, people walked uphill about 200 yards in boot-deep mud to get to the ski trails, and that was the grit and determination that Sisu is. But this year, it is not like that. And if people haven't been up there this winter, they really should come up, because it's not like walking in the mud, and the skiing is actually quite good, and you may find a place that you have to take your skis off and walk a little bit, but the skiing is good. So we hope people will come up, and if you haven't been up there this winter, get up there.
So Sunday, again, Ski for Sisu. There's the burgers, there's the skiing, there's a silent auction as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit more about the event, and how many people do you have participating, and how can people get signed up if they're not already?
Yeah, so I don't know what our participant count is yet, but if you head to springgulch.org, you can find the link to registration. We're also looking for some volunteers, so you can find that link as well if you want to help out with most of our volunteers. Spots are kind of the setup, the takedown, the registration, helping out with the silent auction, those kinds of things. So if you don't feel like you want to even ski, you can just volunteer at the base and still be part of it. But like John said, I think most people will find that, especially if you look out around us in town here, it's hard to believe that there'd be good skiing up there, and it really is.
A few thousand feet of elevation.
Yes, exactly. It's
20-minute drive.
Exceeds your expectations, we'll make sure that we have plenty of fun, even if it's not as much skiing as we would like it to be.
Well, a half an hour always flies here. We do have a couple of young skiers out there. I don't know if we'll have any time to really say hello to them, but we've been talking to Rachel Perkins. She's the executive director of the Mount Sopris Nordic Council, and John Armstrong, a board member. And say hello. You love to ski?
Yeah.
Tell me what your name is.
My name is Kaya.
Hi, Kaya. Are you going to be in Ski for Sisu?
Yeah.
She's going to be skiing for Sisu. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks a bunch, Marilyn.
Thanks for being here. This has been Valley Voices. This is Marilyn Gleason, and keep it here on KDNK.